If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. I'll try not to keep you too long, but I have a little thought on my heart that I hope will be a blessing to you tonight. Proverbs chapter number 3. I don't know how long it's been since I've actually preached out of this chapter. I know I've been in chapter 1 and chapter 2. I see some notes there, but Proverbs chapter 3 is a wonderful chapter, and I was kind of enjoying the chapters. I was looking at it and reading and studying a little bit, but when I got down to towards the end of the chapters, and I'll share this with you in a moment, is where the Lord really just kind of spoke to my heart. Let's start reading in verse number 1, and we'll read verse number 1 down through verse number 12 or 13 here. He said, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Turn over with me just a little bit and later in the chapter, and let's read verse 31 and verse 32. "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord." But I want you to look at this statement. "But his secret is with the righteous." His secret is with the righteous. If I was going to call the message, give it a name tonight, I would call it "The Secret of Sanity in an Insane World." We've lost our way. We've got somebody that's candidating for the Supreme Court that's afraid to say what a woman is, because she knows if she defines what a woman is, that there'll be some people that won't like it. I'm going to tell you something. It's never changed. Male and female created he them. He's still creating them, male and female. We're allowing the drug called fentanyl to pour across the borders. Not been too long ago, I believe there was 4 men in the academy at West Point that died. I told the teenagers just a little while back, maybe it was last Sunday morning, I would not dare put a pill in my mouth that did not come from the pharmacy and was not prescribed by my doctor. Because you can think you're taking something that was fun the last time, and it may be the end this time. We're being deceived as a nation, and the world has gone nuts. I mean that. For it to be okay for a fella to get in the pool with the girls, and I mean, what is there to be proud of when you know that you were born a biological man? What is there to be proud of? I mean, it'd be like getting in the boxing ring, me weighing 200 none of your business pounds with 100 and some pound girl, and beating her. and then throwing a big belt over my shoulder. Ain't that something? It's upside down. The drugs. They call it free sex. Sin's never been free and it never will be. And so tonight, I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I want you to think about the people in your life. I'm going back in my heart and in my mind. I'm talking about people that lived through some rough times. People that didn't have much as far as this world's goods. Sister Jennifer, they were happy. And they didn't lose their sanity in this insane world that we live in. And so I believe God wants us to prepare. I would like to be able to stand here tonight and tell you it's going to get better, but I've got a book in front of me that's not telling us it's going to get better. It's going to get worse. And for the sake of my wife, I'd just like to say it's going to get worse than that. It's going to get worse than worse. But God, He'll still be there for His children. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for the Bible. Thank You, God, that the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus that we know about was Solomon. And he penned down these scriptures, our Lord, to help us. And God, I know that in every generation, things have a tendency to go awry. Lord, I think even, Lord, about Noah's day, when, Lord, it repented You that You had made man upon the earth. And God, I wonder if we're not about to that place again. And God, I know that You said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Lord, there's bad news, it seems like, on every corner. But Lord, for the child of God, we need to understand that bad news really is good news. The King is coming. And God, we know tonight that You're able to help us, to anchor us, even as the storms of life, Lord, come in our hearts, come in our lives. And I pray, God, You'd do that for us in these days. Help us, Lord, to learn some of these secrets, our Father, that we might be able to stand, having done all to stand. God, I pray for Brother Don. He started the meeting today up in Rutgersville, Virginia. God, how I pray You'd bless our dear brother and his sweet wife as they go through the revival through Wednesday night. I pray, God, You'd give them a good meeting. That, Lord, not only would Brother Don be able to encourage the church, but, Lord, that the church would be an encouragement to him. And I pray, Lord, that once again You'd bless Brother Steve in a special way, our Father. God, I pray, God, that the people there in Honduras, Lord, would receive the blessing, God, that they're meant to have through the team going down and working. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Take your Bible and go back over to the book of Deuteronomy with me for just a moment, please. Go back over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29 and verse number 29. The Word of God said, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." In every generation, there'll be a people that are fretting. The Word of God said a while ago, "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways." There'll be people that are envious of those things that are going on around them. But there's also a people that know the secret of joy unspeakable and full of glory, the secret of contentment. The Word of God said that godliness with contentment is great gain. Look what the Bible said in Psalm chapter 25 and verse number 14, and we'll get back to our text in Proverbs 3. The Bible said the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you fear Him? The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. We're living in a generation where a lot of people are proud of the fact that they're not afraid of anything. No fear, they say. Beloved, I tell you, we need to fear the Lord. Not backing up in the corner. The Bible said perfect love casteth out fear. It's not backing up in the corner afraid in a sense that what might happen to you or what He might do to you. But it's a reverential fear. It's a respect. It's not calling Him the old man upstairs. It's not marching into His presence and demanding of Him what to do. But beloved, it's realizing that He is the shepherd. We're the sheep. The sheep don't tell the shepherd which way to go. The shepherd tells the sheep which way to go. I look tonight and to give you just several things the Lord spoke to my heart about the secret of sanity in an insane world. First of all, look in verse number 1. You'll see the words, my son. I circled that in my Bible. In verse number 11, you see the words again, my son. In verse number 21, you see the words again, my son. I'm going to tell you tonight, a lot of people will go crazy because they don't have a new father. God is not their heavenly father. This scripture tonight that we're talking about, keeping your sanity, there has to come a time and a place when you know, beloved, that you've been born into the family of God, that you've been born again. Just a little while ago, Sister Jerry was telling me, I didn't realize it. If I had heard it, I had forgotten it, Sister Jerry. But she told me that she was saved in one of Brother Ralph's tent meetings in 2002. She said God got a hold of her heart. She had thought that she was saved at an early age, but God got a hold of her heart and said, listen, this is it. And she said, Pastor, I walked that sawdust trail, and God saved me that night. I'll tell you tonight, beloved, listen, I can't put enough emphasis on this before I move on. Beloved, if you're going to keep your sanity, you've got to know who you belong to. Jesus told the Pharisees, He said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He's a liar, He said from the beginning. The thief comes not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. He don't care about us. I tell you, when I got saved, I traded daddies. I got a father. Hallelujah. He don't lie to me. He tells me the truth every time He speaks to me. He don't lead me in a path of destruction. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. My son, that's important tonight. You're going to keep your sanity. I'll say this tonight. My dad's in heaven. My mom's in heaven. I believe that with all my heart. But even when they were living, as much as I respected and loved my father, much as I respect and love you, Brother Rose, I wouldn't trade with you or anybody else. And you all ought to feel the same way. If you've been saved by the grace of God, beloved, listen, you ought to say, listen, I know what I have. Ain't no need in trading if you know what you got. Amen. Let me just rephrase that. If you know who you have living in your heart and in your life. I'll tell you tonight, it's possible to grow up in church, possible to know all the language and not know the Lord. And that would be sad. Many will say to me in that day, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in Thy name, prophesied in Thy name, cast out devils in Thy name? They'll hear Him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. One of the saddest passages in the Word of God that I can think of, beloved, is to leave this world religious without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two words are powerful. My son, do you know Him? Does He know you? Amen. Have you been birthed into the family of God? The Word of God, if we're going to keep our sanity, we need to know that we're a son. But then the second thing I want to call your attention to is the Scripture. Beloved, listen, when we see that things are upside down in the world, We should draw comfort from the Scripture because the God said it was going to get that way. He said, because iniquity, the Bible didn't say it's going to be a little bit here. It's going to abound. The love of many is going to wax cold because iniquity shall abound. Beloved, when the cup of iniquity gets full, the judgment's going to fall from on high. God hasn't forgotten, beloved, His Word, and He's not forgotten His people. So a lot of things that may not make sense to the world and cause the world to go nuts, you and I ought to look in the Bible and understand that our King is coming. This morning, Sister Tanita and Sister Laura sang about a city. I'll tell you what's the truth. That's going to be awesome. Going to be awesome. One day I was reading the Bible and I found out the gate of that city is not going to be closed. And we can go in and out. I like that part. If you haven't figured it out, I'm not a city slicker. Say amen. But I won't mind going to that city where my Lord is, where His throne is. But we'll be able to go in and out as the people of God. We see the Scripture. My son, he said, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall it add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. The Scripture is so very important. Knowing that you're a son, that's so very important. I'm glad tonight I'm not guessing. I'm glad I'm not wondering. I'm glad, listen, the Bible said over there in the book of 1 John, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him. We will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. My son, the Scripture, a son of God. I'm not the only begotten son of God, but beloved, I am a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. The Scripture, when I looked at the word in the second verse here in chapter 3, for length of days and long life. Now, what's the next thing here? And peace. How many's ever been around, I call them old-timers. Beloved, listen. They were singing a while ago about the winds and the waves and the anchor. How many's ever been around somebody, just didn't seem like what was going on? There was a peace that passes all understanding. That can only come from the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm telling you, beloved, I remember Kyla Rowland years ago. She was a great songwriter, and as far as I know, a great Christian. When she sang, she had God on her, amen? And Kyla talked about her son. She called him Bubba, and he was just in a mess. His life was in a mess, and she went in to her mama, and her mama was inspiration, inspired a lot of her songs. But she went into her mama, and she told her mama the mess that she was in. She said, Mama sat there for 30 minutes while I talked. And she said, I finally shut up and said, Mama looked back across the kitchen table and said, what a wonderful time to be a Christian. You know what Mama was saying? Yes, we're in a mess, but we have access to the throne of grace. We have a God in heaven that cares about us. We're not hopeless. We have hope in Him, the Spirit of God in someone's life. Moms and dads, mamas and papas, we need to strive for that in our lives. And our children, when this world's a rocking and a reeling, and they're already hollering,
food shortage and all this that we can say, listen, youngins, listen, I've been all young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Their God's seed of begging bread. Don't worry about it, youngins. God will feed us. Amen. Only the Spirit of God can give a man that peace. Knowing, amen. Knowing. Besides, there was a fellow in the church. I'm not going to get real hungry. Not as long as them turkeys keep living over behind his house the way they do. Say amen. I might have turkey for Monday and turkey for Tuesday and turkey for Wednesday, but I ain't going to get hungry. Amen. Justin, he said he's going to reserve them. Amen. He's got children to take care of. The Spirit of God keeping you sanity, the secret of sanity in an insane world. The next thing I saw in the Scripture, in verse number 5, the Word of God said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And this just came to my mind, and I didn't mean to tell you this tonight, but I learned early on in my Christian experience that even if you're going to buy a vehicle, pray about it. You say, how did you learn? I bought a Ford Pinto station wagon. 30 days later, I was hunting the transmission for it. Amen. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't fool with praying about a car. Just go buy me a car. You live that way if you want to. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. I fell in love with a little Chevrolet truck years ago. Eddie's Auto Sales had it there. If that goes out on the internet, that'll be a plug, won't it? Amen. But anyway, they had it there in Church Hill. It was a S10 truck. And it had, well, this was the great thing. It had a 4.3 liter motor in it. That's a V6. They said it was a 350 with two cylinders cut off. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, I had a 1987 Chevrolet S10 that had a 2.8 cylinder motor in it. And that must have been the two cylinders they cut off because it was weak. I mean, it was weak. It would never get stuck in the snow. And I told people the reason it never gets stuck is because it don't have enough power to spin a wheel. I mean, it would climb a tree. It would keep going when everybody else was off the road in a 3-foot snow. In Wise, Virginia, I was going and getting buddies that had big trucks with big tires and big motors because they couldn't make it home. But I'm going to tell you something. That man, I looked at it that morning, and I liked it. I drove it. I liked it. I didn't like it. I loved it. Yeah, how many of you guys ever been there? Say amen. You just sat down in the seat and said, boy, this has got to be it. And I told the salesman, I said, my wife gets out of school at 3 o'clock. I said, I'm going to pick her up. And I said, we'll come back by. I said, if you've still got it, I'll let her ride in it with me. You say, Pastor, I thought you was looking to the Lord. I am. Well, what's your wife got to do with it? You want to stay married? Hey, man. Ain't nothing wrong with working together, amen. Anyway, and especially when you know whatever I say, she's going to say, okay, honey, you know what I mean. But this is what I said, Michael. I said, in the meantime, I said, if somebody comes in here and wants that truck, sell it to them. I said, because I'm asking God, if he wants me to have this truck, that I'll get the truck. But if he don't, that he'll do something, that he'll make a way that I can know. I called that evening. I said, y'all still got that truck? He said, no, we sold it a couple hours after you was in here. I said, praise the Lord. You know what he said on the phone? You beat all I've ever seen. I believe if we know the Savior, we ought to acknowledge him. And I believe that the people that are acknowledging him, Listen to me. We don't need to wait on a blowout in life to acknowledge him. Well, to acknowledge him every day. if we're eating biscuits and gravy, we ought to bow our heads and thank God for biscuits and gravy twice. But if you're eating Cheerios, you know what Daddy said, that's about as next to nothing G ever put in his mouth. You still ought to bow your head and thank God for the Cheerios and acknowledge that it's His hand. There are people that are so full of pride. I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Who gave you the hands? Who gave you the breath? Who gave you the knowledge? Beloved, we need to humble ourselves and acknowledge Him. Those are the people, beloved, that know the secret of sanity in an insane world. Those that will acknowledge the Lord. Look in verse number 11 and 12. Not only do we need to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and He directs our paths, but in verse number 11 and 12, He said, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." We ought to acknowledge. We ought to thank Him when He corrects us. Has anybody in this building besides me ever had to be corrected? You know what the Word of God said about chastisement? It says if you're without chastisement, then you're not legitimate. You're bastards and not sons is what the Bible said. But if you know Christ, you belong to Him. And we ought to acknowledge that even in the chastening. A couple more things and I'm finished. We ought to be careful about something here. The Bible said in verse number 7, if we're going to keep our sanity, the Bible said, "Be not wise and thine own eyes, fear the Lord." What's the last part of the verse say? "Depart from evil." Let me give you something. I don't know how it is that sometimes we get it in our mind. Solomon is not talking to somebody down at the bar. He's not talking to somebody down at the house of ill repute. He has said three times in this chapter, "My son, my son, my son." He's talking to God's children. And he said, "Depart from evil." There's a passage in the New Testament. I'm trying to remember where it is. Turn in the New Testament. Go over towards Timothy. I'll find it in a moment. I think it may be in Timothy. It is. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's why I carry the same Bible. It's not necessarily the same Bible. I've got several Scofield Bibles. I'd be lost without it because sometimes I can't tell you exactly where it is, but I can tell you where it is on the page. And if I just know it's in the epistles, I'll find it in just a moment. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible said in verse number 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ," what's it say? "Depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And so when we're talking about sin, He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to saints. The Word of God said, "Judgment must first begin at the house of God. I tell you, I'll close in just a moment, but one of the greatest illustrations I can think of is early in our marriage, we got our first credit card. Anybody ever get a credit card? Anybody ever let a credit card get you in trouble? What did Brother Don say? You buying stuff with money you don't have? Buying stuff you don't need with money you don't have to impress somebody you don't like. I think that's what he said. Well, we weren't doing that. But we'd like to have that. We'd like to have that. And there's an illustration here. Brother Gary, at the end of the month, the bill comes in the mail. That was long before the days of internet and looking at it on your phone and all that. And when you look at the bill, the first thing you look at is the total. Ain't that right? And I can't tell you how many times in my life I said, what? There's got to be a mistake. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. Sin's the same way. You charge a little here, charge a little there, charge a little here. And the first thing you know, you're out of church. You're out of fellowship with God. You're off of the firing line. What? How did this happen? A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. So when we're dealing with sin, we ought to depart from evil and make short accounts with God. When the Spirit of God deals with our heart about something, get it right. Get it right. The last thing I see here, if we're going to keep our sanity, and this would kill most meetings, but it won't in our church. I've been here 9 years now. I can't tell you the people that I've talked to that cannot believe that we kept going through the pandemic, kept our missionaries going. I got a letter from a missionary last week that has lost $400 a month support through the pandemic. Churches are closing their doors left and right. Churches are giving up. And I say this tonight, and I say it lovingly. It's evident. I've told Brother Gary and I've told the men, I don't know what people give. And I don't want to know what people give. That's the truth. I don't want to know. You ought to be able to stand with joy in your heart and say, Pastor, I don't mind to tell you I tithe, but I don't want to figure on that. I don't need to know that. It wouldn't cause me to think more of one than it would another anyway. Because I'm telling you, beloved, God knows. And God's keeping the record. But the Bible said in verse number 9, keeping your sanity in an insane world, honor the Lord with thy substance. I believe that's important. Don't you? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with whatever's left over of thine increase. Is that the Bible y'all are reading? Brother Rick, you're grinning at me. Yours don't say that, does it, Brother Rick? Whatever's left over of thine increase. You know, that's about all God gets with some people. It's just whatever's left over. But the Bible said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I'll give you this tonight. I won't be dogmatic about it, but I'll give you this tonight. You remember the story? You had the lost sheep, and you had the lost silver, and you had the lost son, the story of the prodigal son. I believe that was Luke. Is it Luke 15? I think that's right. It's right along in there somewhere. But anyway, you remember that lady, she had 10 coins, and she lost one. You remember how that she swept the house, and then she called her friends and her neighbors and said, rejoice with me. Now, I don't know this for sure, but if that was the coin that she set aside for the Lord, it ain't no wonder she was so happy to be able to find it. They said a little boy was walking down the road, and he had two quarters. He was flipping them up in the air. Said a man walked alongside of him and said, "Son, what you got there?" He said, "I got two quarters." He said, "What are you going to do with them?" He said, "Well, one of them is for the Sunday school offering, and the other one is for ice cream after church." He said, about that time, one of the quarters hit the ground and rolled down the storm drain. He said, "Well, Lord, there went your quarter." Amen. That's about the way it goes sometimes, ain't it? Amen. We need to honor the Lord with our substance. How many's glad you come tonight? Thank you for coming.